You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to MLB.com Extras. I'm Matthew Leach, talking Philadelphia Phillies with MLB.com's Phillies beat reporter, Todd Zielecki. Todd, does anything change at all as far as the front office and the future of the front office? And I'll just be specific. As far as Ruben Amaro's future, after Amaro seems to have had a pretty good July.
You know, I definitely think his chances have improved. I don't know what those chances are, but I think at most, or at least, it's better that it's a coin flip right now, whether or not he comes back. If you had asked me that question a month ago, I said, boy, Andy McPhail's coming in here. He's going to want his own guy almost for sure. But, Pat Gillick, who's, kind of the outgoing president, that told me on Sunday, thought Ruben did an excellent job. He thought that the front office did a great job. And, I asked him, are you going to go to bat for Ruben with Andy McPhail? He said, I don't need to go to bat for him. He said, Andy's been here last month. He's seen everything that's transpired. So, if you read between the lines, you kind of get a feel that Andy McPhail might have liked what Ruben has done. But then again, he could still, at the end of the season, go, you know what, Ruben, I really thought you did a great job, but I still do want my own guy. But going back to what I originally started saying, I certainly don't think he has hurt his chances. I think he has helped his chances. And I think the door is definitely ajar for his return.
How has this sequence of deals been received in the home market? Because I think it's been mixed nationally, but I think basically the reviews have been pretty good. Again, the Hamels deal still seems very good, but it's also, fans often think they're going to get everybody in the world in a team's top five prospects. Has Amaro's perception in the home market changed at all over the last month?
Well, I think fans have looked at those deals and they are pretty pleased overall, but you're right. I mean, every fan has his or her own take. Some people wanted Joey Gallo and some of the other top prospects in baseball for Cole Hamels, but you can only get what somebody's willing to give you. But overall, I think Phillies fans seem pretty happy with the packages of players they got for Hamels, Diekman, Papelbon, and Ben Revere. And, that said, I think most fans are still frustrated with the way things have gone over the past couple of years. But I think the ones that really pay close attention look at these trades, and they also see kind of the improvements that have been made in the farm system over the past year or two. They see some pretty good prospects coming up right now, and next year's AAA team in Lehigh Valley could be the first one I recall in years that is actually going to be a prospect-laden team rather than just a 60-year free agent team, and that could mean good things for the Phillies down the road.
Do you foresee any additional, we'll start with small moves between now and September 1st? Do you still think they might move somebody like a Francoeur, one of those kind of moves, or do you think that those moves are probably not happening?
I certainly think there's a chance. In talking to people before the trade deadline, I asked a lot about Francoeur because he was playing pretty well. And the feeling was, if it's going to happen, it's going to happen in August. But the Phillies are so focused on making sure they got the right pieces for Hamels and Papelbon and Ben Revere that, they kind of pushed, I don't want to say pushed Francoeur aside, but unless something really presented himself that made a lot of sense, they weren't going to really rush into that. So Francoeur continues to play well. He would seem to have a lot of value to a team looking for a right-handed bat off the bench. So I certainly think that there's a possibility he could be traded. Aaron Harang is still out there, but he hasn't pitched well. He's been on the DL. He got knocked around a little bit this week. So I think he, at this point, unless somebody got desperate for starting pitching, he's probably going to stick around. And of course, the big name everybody's worrying about is Chase Utley.
Right, and that kind of leads me into I started with small. The next question is big. And Utley, even if he is not would necessarily be a major baseball acquisition for a club at this point, would obviously be a very big move for the Phillies to make. So, and maybe we should separate them, but we've been talking about Howard for goodness knows how long. Do you still think that Howard and or Utley, either in August or in the winter or at some point, are going to end up on other rosters?
Howard is interesting because he's actually been playing a little bit better lately. But right now, or I should say leading up to the trade deadline, there really was not much interest at all in Ryan Howard. You didn't really hear about that team that was looking for DH. Hey, as Phillies, if you eat a bunch of his contract, we'd be willing to send you a player for him. I did not hear any of that at all. But on the other hand, I did hear some teams were interested in Chase Utley, believe it or not, considering how poorly he played before he went on the DL. You know, the Angels are interested in him. The Cubs have been interested in him. And I think those teams look at Chase, and it's kind of a curiosity type of thing. They want to see if when he comes back from the disabled list, which I expect will be in San Diego, he'll be activated for that first game in San Diego Friday night. They're kind of curious to see how he performs when he's healthy. And then if he does play well, I think they're going to start to dream a little bit and go, boy, I wonder if he could really kind of get re-energized by playing for a postseason contender. And, you know, he does have his 10-5 rights, and he has said in the past he does not want to leave Philadelphia. But in spring training, if you remember, I believe we did talk about this in spring training, he said at the time, you know what, I don't want to leave Philly, but sure, my mind can change. If we're not playing well, if they start trading some of these other veterans on the team, you know, maybe I'll rethink things. Well, they just traded Cole Hamels. They just traded Jonathan Papelbon. They're in last place. He's not going to hit 500 plate appearances this season, which means his option is not going to vest, which means he'll become a free agent after the season, which means he probably won't be back next year. So, hey, if you're not going to be back next year, you know, why not give yourself a chance to get back to the postseason this year?
And the other part of that, in Utley's case in particular, they've made it pretty clear that when he comes back, he'll play, but it's not the same as it was. He's not the second baseman. And so, you know, I don't think anybody really thinks Chase Utley is going to be a problem. I don't think he's wired that way. He's not going to pout. He's not going to be a problem in the clubhouse. But he wants to play. And I wonder what kind of pressure there will be on the front office to do something if he's playing 2-3 days a week, if this franchise icon, this guy who at times looked like he was even on a Hall of Fame track, is playing 2 or 3 times a week. That has the potential to be a difficult situation.
It does. And, you know, the Phillies have said, you know, Pete McCannon has said this week that he does need to play Chase Utley. He says he wants to play Chase Utley, and you read between the lines. They want to play Chase Utley to maybe showcase him a little bit for some of these teams. So he's going to play a little bit at second base. He's going to play maybe a game a week at first base just to get him some at-bats. But Pete McCannon also made a point to tell us the other day, I went up to Cesar Hernandez and I said, you are not a utility player. You're playing everywhere. Right now we need to play Chase a little bit. So I think what they're hoping is that they can get Chase Utley enough plate appearances, have him perform well enough, and then maybe try to hook up a trade with somebody. And honestly, if that does not happen, say Chase plays this month and he really struggles, or say he plays, Chase Utley plays this month, and he plays well, and then for some reason he vetoes a trade, then I honestly think in September you're going to see a lot more Cesar Hernandez at second base than Chase Utley, because I think at that point they're going to say, all right, Chase, you know what, we just got to get Cesar more opportunities. He's our future at second. And, hey, we love you, but, you know, it's going to be time to move on.
Some of the names in these deals that they brought back are obvious headliners. You know, a guy like Alfaro is certainly a headliner. And, you know, you look at the Texas package, it's pretty clear who the big names are. Out of the maybe not-so-big names of guys they brought in over the last, well, really the whole build-up to the deadline, is there anybody you've heard sort of, hey, keep an eye on this guy, or, hey, you know, I know this guy isn't a big name, but we're really excited about him?
Well, you know, the two guys that got in the Ben Revere trade, Cordero and Torrado, are going to be interesting to watch. And they're going to be interesting to watch because both of them throw in the high 90s, and Jimmy Cordero throws as high as 102. And that, to me, makes him a guy worth watching. You know, he's not a top 20 prospect in the organization, but if this guy can throw for strikes a little bit, get his command down, all of a sudden you're like, Oh, okay. You might have somebody team up with Ken Giles in the late innings. So he's one of those guys who's kind of a little bit of a flyer, but you take a shot on because he throws hard. And the Phillies have acquired guys, you know, Filippo Mont, when they got him for Cliff Lee in 2009, he was throwing in the high 90s. Didn't work out, but you know what? That doesn't mean you don't take a chance on another guy that throws 98 to 102. So of those guys acquired in those trades, Cordero is, I guess, the sleeper of the bunch. Torrado is maybe a little bit more polished than him, even though he's in the lower levels of the farm system. But everybody's given a lot of attention to Nick Williams and Jorge Alfaro and Jake Thompson, the top of the guys acquired in the Hamels deal, and deservedly so. But I would look at those two guys for sure.
All right. Well, Todd Zielecki, thanks for taking some time to talk here on MLB.com Extras, and thanks, everybody, for listening.
MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go, every night on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.